Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
I've received various awards from the Army and the Capitol Police, to include an award for recovery efforts during the Pentagon attack. Unfortunately, I didn't save any lives, but there are certain lessons that always stuck with me after 9/11. One of those lessons is knowing the unthinkable is always possible, so be ready. So I always take my job very seriously, as 9/11 is always in the back of my mind.
This was Captain Carnesha Mendoza, a 19-year Capitol Police officer who was involved very much in, of course, 9/11 recovery, as she said, and then also in the Capitol riot. She was not one of the primary witnesses yesterday. That was all the chiefs and the heads of agencies past and current. She was just there to sort of set the table and set the tone and talk about what she encountered. And, of course, she, as being a Capitol cop, had been also very involved in the response to the Million MAGA March.
During the Million MAGA March, multiple white supremacist groups, to include the Proud Boys and others, converged on the Supreme Court along with countergroups. The Civil Disturbance Unit fought hard that day, physically breaking up fights and separating various groups. I literally woke up the next day unable to move due to the pain.
And that was a similar kind of thing. Not that that is good at all, but that was the similar sort of expectation, according to all of the witnesses at the chief's level, and also according to Captain Mendoza, that they expected on the morning of January 6th.
On January 6th, we anticipated an event similar to the Million MAGA March that took place on November 14th, where we would likely face groups fighting among one another. Additional civil disturbance units were activated that day.
So she tells the story of basically being home with her daughter and, feeding her and then getting the call. Hey, stuff's happening. Need to call you in. So she comes in. She tries to get to the Capitol. She encounters some protesters and, she tries to get around. And eventually, she wasn't 100% clear on this, but it sounded to me like she actually had to work through the crowd at some point, possibly inside the Capitol building, in order to get to the first line of established defense positions.
I immediately jumped in line with them to assist with holding the crowd of rioters. At some point, my right arm got wedged between rioters and the railing along the wall. A CDU sergeant pulled my right arm free, and had he not, I'm certain it would have been broken. Shortly after that, an officer was pushed and fell to the floor. I assisted the officer to a safer location and got back in line. At some point, the crowd breached the line officers worked so hard to maintain. Civil disturbance units began to redeploy to keep rioters from accessing other areas of the building.
You know, the reason that I found it useful to hear from her is because we just haven't had a lot of, this is what happened from the law enforcement perspective. Obviously, all of the witnesses yesterday, this is like their first public comment, really, and they've basically had to endure the portrayal of them or their comments by, folks like me, and haven't been able to really talk about it and haven't talked much about it. And so we found out a lot more yesterday. But I thought her account just, again, made it to me more vivid what was happening inside the Capitol on that day, and I appreciated hearing from her about that.
I proceeded to the rotunda where I noticed a heavy smoke-like residue and smelled what I believed to be military-grade CS gas, a familiar smell. It was mixed with fire extinguisher spray deployed by rioters. The rioters continued to deploy CS into the rotunda. Officers received a lot of gas exposure, which is worse inside the building than outside because there's nowhere for it to go. I received chemical burns to my face that still have not healed to this day.
Man, and it was not fast. As again, I think this part we did know, but it was a very slow process of turning the tide, repelling the invaders, and establishing safety inside the Capitol building that day.
I'm proud of the officers I worked with on January 6th. They fought extremely hard. I know some said the battle lasted 3 hours, but according to my Fitbit, I was in the exercise zone for 4 hours and 9 minutes, and many officers were in the fight even before I arrived.
4 hours of fighting. You have no idea how exhausting something like that can be. If you've ever been, just some sort of cursory participation in martial arts where you do sparring, I mean, you're done after like a minute, you know, 2 minutes. You know, you just it's exhausting to imagine being in some kind of relatively constant physical altercation for 4 hours. Good Lord. But here's the thing, and this is kind of one of the big themes of the testimony yesterday, was obviously how long in advance did anybody know? Did they have a reasonable expectation that the violence and insurrection would have happened, or did they not? Was that a surprise to them? Were they prepared? What could they have done better, differently, more? She had a... This was not the focus of her commentary, but I thought it was an interesting kind of aside almost as she was wrapping up. She had been brought on by the chair, Amy Klobuchar, just to give a kind of table-setting perspective, which I thought was useful. That's the reason I'm playing it. But she made a kind of an offhanded comment that very much fit with what the other chiefs or former chiefs and heads of agencies and, you know, sergeant arms, what they all said basically was something like this.
Of the multitude of events I've worked in my nearly 19-year career in the department, this was by far the worst of the worst. We could have had 10 times the amount of people working with us, and I still believe the battle would have been just as devastating.
Could have had 10 times as many people helping, and it still would have been hours of fighting. There's this notion I think people have, I don't know, maybe I've been guilty of it, I'm not sure, that if only the cops had called in reinforcements quicker. You know, if only they, I mean, why didn't they have a bunch of people standing by? Well, what she's saying and what the chief said is, do you know how many people it would take? Do you know how much physical presence you'd have? To repel this many people without just, I mean, and nobody really said it this way, but without just shooting them, without just killing people. It's an enormous body presence, is what they're saying. So, and look, this is not to excuse, I'm just trying to put you in the position of understanding what was happening that day. That this was a tremendous, overwhelming invasion of the Capitol building. And by the way, by people who, you know, basically came prepared. As Stephen Sun said it, they came for war.
I've been in policing for almost 30 years. The events I witnessed on January 6th was the worst attack on law enforcement and our democracy that I've seen in my entire career. I witnessed insurgents beating police officers with fists, pipes, sticks, bats, metal barricades, and flagpoles. These criminals came prepared for war. They came with their own radio system to coordinate the attack and climbing gear and other equipment to defeat the Capitol's security features. I am sickened by what I witnessed that day.
So, would it have made a difference to have twice as many cops? I mean, some, right? But the point of the hearing yesterday, my takeaway anyway, was despite all the claims by the Democrats to the contrary and by, you know, armchair quarterbacks, Monday morning quarterbacks to the contrary, nobody knew this was happening. Nobody knew in advance. And it's hard to even imagine the appropriate level of preparation for something like this that it would have taken in order to really easily, so to speak, repel or prevent it. You can understand why they had all those, you know, tens of thousands of National Guard staged for the inauguration. Because, you know, it's more something like that is what you would have needed. 617 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
And starting at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, we are backing up all the way to Sunset Avenue now. So this is going to take you extra time, about 15, 20 minutes it appears, as you're trying to get to the main gate. Back gate is flowing smoothly. Garcon Point Bridge and Avalon Boulevard in both directions still checking in clear. No delays to report from I-10 or I-110. I'm Davis Allen. Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, you always hear me talking about Captain Eric and Southeast Air Shuttle and how if you got a business meeting that you got to go to in Nashville or Tuscaloosa or Orlando, or, you know, you got to check on something, or, you know, maybe it's not in the big city, maybe it's like in a more rural area, but you can get to that with a private airport, right? You know, the commercial aviation, that's what they do. But maybe you don't have business travel like that. And when you think, well, what do they have for me? Well, what about a weekend getaway to any of those places? You know, what about going for a football game? What about going for a golf outing? What about taking your sweetie out for a weekend? These are all things he can do. It's basically your luxury air service to take you, wait for you, pick you up Friday to Sunday, Saturday to Sunday, a night, a weekend, whatever you want to do. The whole point is it gives you the freedom to fly when you want, not when you're told. Southeast Air Shuttle, all kinds of flying the way flying is supposed to be, your no-line airline. Find out more at flysoutheast.com. Good morning, 621 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. Top coronavirus vaccine manufacturers giving Congress an update on expanding supply and availability.
Pfizer.
We anticipate that we will be on track to deliver those 300 million doses before the end of July.
Moderna also pledging 300 million by the end of July. J&J, as soon as next week. AstraZeneca, not yet approved. Novavax, not yet approved.
That's NBC's Tom Costello. Congressional Republican and Democrats remembering Americans lost to the pandemic. Lawmakers gathering outside the Capitol building for a candlelight vigil last night. An Oregon man makes history. We'd all, you know, like to make history, I guess. He's making history for having the highest blood alcohol content ever recorded.
Dubious distinction.
He's number one.
Yes, he's number one.
The Wait, where's he from? Oregon?
Oregon.
Why is it suddenly, I feel like we're in competition with Oregon for
Oregon
crazy
man.
Criminals.
Oregon man.
Right?
He's unnamed, pending criminal charges. He had a blood alcohol content of 0.77.
What? Holy moly, he's
more
alive?
More than nine times the legal limit, arrested Friday after a brief police chase.
Well, in fairness, it used to only be seven times the legal limit.
Yeah.
I mean,
it used to be
0.1, and then they lowered it. So makes him look a lot worse. I mean,
0.77. Come on, you couldn't hit 0.8? What's the matter with you?
You know, what happens if that guy, you know, starts bleeding and somebody lights a cigarette? Good Lord. 0.7.
I'm just thinking about what he had to drink to get to that. He finished a whole bottle of whiskey, maybe?
In a minute.
Yeah.
And maybe more than.
Just one?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure that one even would do that. Wow.
Yeah,
all right, Mark. Thanks. Was that it, sir?
Yeah, that's it
that's
for
enough.
Now.
That's enough, yeah. All right. Thanks so much for the update. 623 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, this is kind of interesting. You know, we hear all the sort of the negative news about Boeing recently. And again, I just have to say this. I know I sometimes take a contrarian view of things, and I still am just... Okay, I have to play this. I didn't do this yesterday. I wasn't going to do it, but I find myself wanting to talk about Boeing for a different reason. So I do want to say this. You know the 777 engine that you've seen a billion times if you've been on social media? You see the video. Oh, video engine. Rah! Again, nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. Everybody landed safely. Nobody was hurt. Okay? But yet, we keep showing it. Nobody was hurt. Just keep showing it. Nobody was hurt. I hate to be repetitive, but how many times have you seen the video? I didn't even say my annoying, nobody was hurt, as many times as you've seen that video by far, right? This was the news report on NBC. This is the end of it. You ready?
And the house shook.
I see right away it's the front end of an airplane engine.
Amazingly, no one was hit.
On the ground, nobody was hit. Amazingly. Nope. I'm sorry. If you take the total surface area of the country... And then you divide it by the number of people in the country. Do you know what the odds are of hitting a random person on the ground with an object falling from the sky? Even odds? Coin flip? No! It's really, really unusual. So this, God, amazingly, the front of an engine fell off of a plane. Amazingly, nobody on the ground was hit. No! It'd be amazing if somebody got hit. Statistically. Incredibly unlikely for somebody to get hit. Amazingly, nobody was hurt. Now, I will say it's good news that nobody was hurt. Two engines. I know, not four. Two engines. One worked just fine. The plane landed safely. Nobody was hurt. Shut up. I'm so tired of seeing this scaremongering video all over the place. Oh, it happened three times before. Okay, I understand that's not good, but just it's always my frustration with how we cover events. It's just no context. You know, when there's an actual crash where people are actually killed, nobody contextualizes that in the context of, well, how many planes took off and landed safely that day? You ever been in a major car wreck ever? I've been in three. I've been in three car wrecks where I could have died in any one of them. And I didn't die. And yet I still drive. How is that possible? Because I have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of safe driving experience to balance the fear of actual dangerous car crashes that I have experienced. Most people don't have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of safe airline travel experience. What they have is a few hours of safe airline travel experience and hundreds of hours of adverse news coverage of plane terrible things. Okay, all right. I didn't even get to my good story about Boeing. But not that I'm meaning to be an advocate for Boeing, but Boeing has got a T-7A trainer that they're looking to maybe replace the T-45 Goshawk that we see flying all over the place. Just a side note. Just something small that's kind of going on that you might see different planes down the road flying around the area if they ever do wind up replacing the Goshawk. 627 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Yeah, and the front gate of NAS Pensacola is where I'm seeing the biggest delays today. In fact, backing up quickly all the way to Winthrop Avenue. Actually, I should correct myself. Already to the intersection of Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway. So this normally takes about 20 to 30 minutes in that range to get you onto the main gate. Back gate is flowing smoothly, and if you're heading to the main gate, you would already know they're just taking extra security protocols trying to get onto base. Now going northbound across Garcon Point Bridge, it's moving a little slower until you get across the hump. It then starts checking and clear once again. All the way to I-10, so no delays to report from Avalon in either direction. And Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you're in business, why'd you get in business? You got in business to provide your service, to make your product, to serve people, right? You did not get in business to run payroll or to figure out benefits or to sit there and detail study the minute advantages and disadvantages of eight different, you know, right? Some people. That's why Torgerson Causey got in business, because that's actually what they do. They understand that you got in business to do your thing, and they got in business to do their thing that helps you do your thing better by not having to do their thing. Does that make sense? They do insurance. They do benefits. They do payroll. They do HR, dental, vision, life, all that stuff. That's what they do. That's what they're the experts at. And we just started using them here at News Radio, and basically what they did is give us options, and they customized plans for us. Choices for the employees. Better plans for the employers. It's that simple. So if you're thinking about looking to see if you might have better options available, or you just want to get a free, no-obligation review of your program, give them a call. 20 years in business locally, 433-9996, or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Know more about what matters in your life. The Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Congressman Cedric Richmond, on behalf of the Black Press of America, the NMPA, congratulations to you. We're so proud of you. We would like to thank you for this special virtual White House briefing for the Black Press of America to share with us highlights of the Biden-Harris administration's commitment to the African-American community.
Okay, I'm going to be really white here for a minute. You ready? I didn't even know there was a Black Newspaper Association in the United States of America. I just didn't know. The NNPA, and yes, N stands for words we don't really use anymore. Change it to newspaper, by the way. Okay, National Newspaper Publishing Association. Change from the other name. Okay, not the awful name, but, you know, the other name that used to refer to Black people in this country. And then they changed it several years ago. So this was a briefing that was done with Cedric Richmond, Congressman Cedric Richmond, who's now working for the White House to coordinate community relations type stuff. And he had a briefing with Black press in America. And what was weird about it is I saw the YouTube link on this. This is a couple weeks ago, but I saw the YouTube link on this. And I thought, oh, a White House briefing with the press, just like a newspaper briefing. I thought, this might be interesting. I wonder what it is. And I turned it on and I was watching it for a minute. Well, that's kind of unusual. They're all Black. I mean, it's obvious. And then the more they talked, I'm like, oh, it's a White House conference with Black newspapers. Okay. I'm still curious, you know, what's this going to turn out to have?
He knows the black press. He's engaged with the black press.
This is one of the publishers talking about Cedric Richmond.
And he's always supported the black press. So we are really in good hands, and we look forward to the things that he can do for us. He knows the pain that the black press has consistently suffered over the many, many years, in spite of our good work, in terms of being denied and deprived of adequate, equitable advertising.
What? I mean, again, first time I ever heard of this organization. Of course, I know there were black newspapers, of course. But, you know, the first I really heard of this, and the first claim out the gate that they were talking about was the criticism that black newspapers had not gotten their share of their equitable share of advertising revenue in the country. And my first thought is, well, okay, I want to hear more. I'm always open. But you get advertising based on how many people you reach, how likely you are to be able to produce results of putting people in front of a product or service based on the advertising you use, and whether you have good salespeople to go out and make contacts and connect potential clients with the advertising advantage that you have. You know, I don't know what it would involve, but to try to math out the question of whether News Radio or Cat Country, our two stations, get some equitable share of the ad revenue, I mean, if you just do it by eyeballs, I'm sure the answer is no, because TV costs a lot more, but we reach a comparable number of people. You know, I mean, just this notion of we haven't gotten our equitable share, like, what are you even talking about? It's just such a weird approach to thinking about ad revenue. Now, it turns around and Cedric Richmond, again, who's a former congressman now representing the White House, just talking to his friends in the black press about their role in the country.
Let me start off by thanking NMPA for what you do. And not everybody knows it, so I'll take a second and just let people know. You tell the unvarnished truth. You give it to us unedited. In many places, that is the most reliable news that people can get, whether they're picking up a copy when they leave church, whether they're picking up a copy when they leave their local corner store or grocery store, or in my case, whether they're leaving their black bank in New Orleans. This is where they pick up the information that they know that they can trust.
What do you think regular newspapers do? You know, what do you think radio does? What do you think? You tell the unvarnished truth, the unedited. You're the only news source that people can trust. That's just a weird position for the White House to take on black press. Now, I don't deny that many people who read the black-oriented newspapers might think that way. But really? Is that the White House position on the reliability of the press in general? Now, I'll tell you, to me, that was all fascinating, okay? Fascinating, this notion of, you know, the black newspapers struggling and, you know, are they going to be able to, basically one of the people said they're dying on the vine because they're deprived of their fair share. Well, here, I'll just play it for you.
Yeah, our newspapers are actually dying on the vine because we give a lot of lip service, and I'm not speaking about you or the administration, but there's always a lot of lip service and a recognition that we are deprived of advertising. But in the federal government alone, there is hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising being executed each and every year, and we get virtually none of it. And we don't need a preference. All we need is to have proportionate ability to be able to access according to our percentages in the country.
So here's where I agree. I think that if you have a procurement of advertising revenue that's being spent in print media and you are not giving any of it to black newspapers and you are giving it to, let's just say, mainstream newspapers, well, that's a problem. I mean, no doubt, I agree with that. The question is, do you do it based on the percentage of people in the country who are black, or do you do it based on the circulation numbers, and then how do you measure that? Is it paid circulation? Is it a giveaway paper? You know, I mean, those are questions to ask. But again, their basic premise throughout this was we just don't get our fair share.
Do you think it's appropriate, and do you think that you can persuade the president to sign an executive order specifically dealing with advertising in the federal government? That is crucial to us. And this does not need a new budget allocation. This is just equitably distributing the advertising that's already there. And it would be a flood of money coming into the Black community.
Now, again, if there is a pattern of Black press not getting, even based on their circulation numbers, an appropriate slice of the ad revenue for federal programs that are related to their audience, I agree with that. But this notion that somehow, and I just don't know, but this notion that somehow they've been deprived and they're dying because they haven't been able to get it all this time, I mean, that's just weird. And Cedric Richmond went out of his way to say it's not just that you need it. This is not some giveaway, but it's that you deserve it. That you you deserve it based on the numbers and the salespeople and all that. But I will say this is one thing that I very much agree with. What is the key issue that we have right now? And this is kind of where the whole conversation wound up in the end. What's the key issue that we have right now with the pandemic? Is that in the Black community, people are reluctant to get vaccinated more so than in the white community. There is an anti-vaccine sentiment among Blacks that is higher than it is among whites. And that's a problem for health in the Black community. There's other reasons why they're not being vaccinated at high enough numbers, but everybody knows this is an issue. This is an open issue that everybody knows about. So here's my thought, and this is where I would agree. If you're going to put advertising money out into the world, promoting vaccinations in the Black community through Black newspapers, even if it were disproportionately high compared to in traditional print, I'd support that too. Because that would make sense to me, trying to overcome the trust gap that exists between Blacks and the medical community, especially with the history of vaccinations and experiments that is widely, partially true. There's definitely truth there, but certainly widely believed. 646 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, let's start with the front gate of NAS Pensacola, backing up onto Navy Boulevard. This is north of Barrancas Avenue and Gulf Beach Highway, backed up around the Warrenton Elementary School, actually. So significant delays at the main gate. Back gate is flowing smoothly. Now taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge going northbound. It is a little slow moving as you are leaving Gulf Breeze. And actually with that, going eastbound on Gulf Breeze Parkway, backed up around the Bell's Winn-Dixie parking lots. This is going to take you an extended amount of time just to get on Garcon Point Bridge if you have to go eastbound. Hang in there, Mom and Dad. Also, if you're traveling southbound going on Avalon Boulevard, leaving Highway 90 on down to I-10, it is a delayed around the area of Del Monte Street. I-10, I-110, though, checking in clear. And this report brought to you by Direct Auto. You can do this because Direct Auto is here to help online, on the phone, in person, going 24/7, so you're never at a standstill. Get a quote today at directauto.com and keep driving. I'm David Salen with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Among people who wind up doing, you know, hardware-related stuff, repairs and construction, there's basically three categories, right? There's your professional contractor, and, you know, you do this for a living, you're very good at. Well, Pensacola Hardware can help you. Maybe you don't know that they can help you. They can ship stuff straight to your job site. They can put you on, you know, a monthly bill instead of having to go buy it every time and send a guy down with the credit card to the hardware store to pick up a part. They've got it in stock, so you don't have to wait. And of course, they can give you advice if you ever run into problems and figure out what it is you need, and they will have it available. Okay, that certainly can take care of you. But then when it comes to like home fixer upper type people, there's those of you who I frankly don't understand you. It's okay, but you love doing home repairs. I'm on the verge of throwing a screwdriver through the wall every time I have to do a home repair. That's just me. But for those of you who like it, great. Pensacola Hardware can help you. Obviously, they're your people. They like this stuff. It's their, you know, their life. But then there's category three. That's people like me that basically do it when we're dragged kicking and screaming to the necessity. Okay, but Pensacola Hardware understands. They understand. And they know you don't want to be doing this, and they know you don't want to be doing it wrong, and you don't want to be taking too long, so they can help you answer your questions, give you guidance, tell you what you need, teach you how to use it if need be. So whatever your level of desire and expertise in construction or hardware, Pensacola Hardware can help you. 170 years helping people just like you, whichever category you're in, here in Pensacola, right downtown on 20 East Gregory Street.
Fifty-five!
National average for a gallon of gas, 266. Florida average, awful. 261. I mean, it's better than the national average, but it's still way up from what it had been. Remember when it was $2? Anyway. Vidal Junction, California is 459. Houston, Texas, $1.75. In Navarre, 255 east and west of the Walmart, 265, up 87. In Gulf Breeze this morning, 255. And the same at the foot of the Garson Point Bridge. In Milton, 243 at the Raceway. Before Avalon, 255. P Ridge of the Walmart, 258. In Pace, last station before you get on the car. Way coming over to Pensacola, 258 at the Walmart on 9 Mile, 257 on the at the US 29 Murphy station in front of the Walmart there, 256 at the Navy Exchange and at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on Navy. Oh, hey, this is a little bit better. TNC, not TNC, the BP station, sorry, at Pace has got it at 254. That's actually your best price in the region down there anyway. 653 on News Radio, 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The House set to vote Friday on that huge coronavirus relief package. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell not in favor of it.
They're going to try to muscle this through on a totally partisan basis.
House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says the nearly $2 trillion measure will deliver quick relief to Americans, included plans to dole out those $1,400 stimulus checks. Tiger Woods conscious and stable this morning after that serious rollover crash yesterday. Investigators say a seatbelt likely saved his life. There's no indication that Woods was impaired at the time. Cold Stone scooping up a new dessert that's magically delicious.
Oh, what? Lucky
Charms?
How does
Lucky Charms awesome. Ice cream sound?
I'm about it.
No.
It's green ice cream mixed with the iconic marshmallows topped with gold glitter, being served up starting March 1st, of course, just in time for St. Patrick's Day.
All right, well, it sounds pretty.
Yeah, it's a pretty ice cream.
See, I'm a purist on a Cold Stone, though.
Yeah.
Just sweet cream, nothing else. No mix-ins.
Just give me some ice cream.
Just give me that because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I, before we do quick shot of sports, can I admit something I don't really want to admit on the air, but I think I need to.
Are we rolling tape?
Yeah. Had my first bluebell the other day.
Ooh. First?
Yes.
Oh, that's an Allen family mainstay.
I know. And it was phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome.
That's good stuff.
It was so good.
Tastes just like the good old days.
I'm in. I understand. All right. 7 years in the South. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Yeah, to follow up what Mark was saying about Tiger Woods, it was a pretty horrific crash. No indications that he hit the brakes as he went over a really steep turn that they say is prone to accidents due to how sharp it turns. Car rolled over numerous times, had many fractures in his legs that took pins and rods to try and get his legs back to, well, I guess normal shape, but they say he is recovering in the hospital as of right now, so that's good news there. He said that he was even conscious and he was coherent when he was being addressed as the police and first responders arrived at the scene. In the NBA, All-Star reserves have been selected. The All-Star game's coming up in Atlanta here on March 7th. Reserves include former MVP James Harden, as well as Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Julius Randle, and Ben Simmons, and also DeMarcus Cousins, who's from Mobile, so I like to consider him sort of a local. He was waived by the Houston Rockets. Kind of been having a rough go of it lately, and I'm going to roll this into your quick shot of traffic on the fives, I should say, as the front gate of NAS Pensacola is bad, real bad, actually, as you're trying to get on over to the main gate. Backed up all the way to Patton Drive, so this is backed up quite a ways, so be ready to expect patience there, or delays. Use patience. The back gate is flowing smoothly if you'd rather go that route. But also now taking a look at northbound Garson Point Bridge, also moving a little slower, and that's the case for eastbound Gulf Breeze Parkway, trying to get to the light that would lead you to Garson Point Bridge. Avalon Boulevard, though, checking in clear as you're going northbound, but southbound going towards I-10, backed up to Del Monte Street. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, we all love living in the South, but I don't think there's anybody that loves the humidity. There's nobody that gets up in the morning in the South, winter or summer, is like, oh, thank God, it's so humid, right? Nobody likes that. It's bad. bad for just the enjoyment of whatever temperature it is. It's obviously bad for in your home, for mold and things like that in the ducts. It's bad for your health. You may not realize it, but that extra humidity is actually bad for you health-wise. How do you fix that? Well, you can't fix it outside, but inside you can. That's what Southern Climate Solutions does. They do whole home dehumidifiers to get it down to that 40 to 50% range where it's supposed to be, because at 60% is when you start fostering mold growth. And to get it down to a normal range that is really ideal, that can help the long, you know, the longevity of your home, because it keeps the wood and other things from being problems, keeps the mold from growing, helps your health issues, or at least it can do. And obviously, it makes the temperature in your house, winter or summer, more manageable and more endurable without that humidity. So if that appeals to you, it really should appeal to all of us. Southern Climate Solutions, they can help you out. SouthernClimateSolutions.com. All right, future news quickly. We've got 1,000. Is this right? 1,000 girls have become the first Eagle Scouts now that girls are allowed in the Scouts. How long until Girl Scouts take over the Scouts and really kind of it's just as many girls as boys?
Give it about 10 years.
I got the same. About 5 to 10 years. That's exactly right. The Escambia Children's Trust running into trouble because they can't get a quorum. Will they be able to apply the tax this year or will it wait till next year?
Next year.
I think next year, too. DeSantis is so slow in making these appointments. I just think it'll be a bit.